Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Got to obey the word of God. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord, people of the Most High God. This is Pastor Bobby with Kingdom of God Ministries. We have an exciting program for you, previously recorded program, Dark Marquee, Exposing the Illuminati. Before we go any further, we're going to just bless the program. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless everyone that is listening to the program, and we also come against any hindering spirits. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we ask that you touch the minds, the hearings, the hearts of everyone listening on tonight, that they might receive that engrafted word of God, that they would be blessed, delivered, set free, and that the Spirit of God would move on them according to his will. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen and amen. Now, at this time, we're going to go immediately to our scheduled programming, Doc Marquee, Exposing the Illuminati. Amen and amen. Here we go.
And she's going to, and we're on the
Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God.
It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Got to obey the word of God. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into. Just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord, people of the Most High God. We have an exciting program on tonight. We're coming to you with Brother Doc Marquis. We have a, I want to read a little something of his biography to you. This man is something else in the gospel. He's going to be giving us some intel on the Illuminati and various cults. You can call him and ask him questions and comments later on in the program. The last 15, 20 minutes of the program, we want to give him as much time as possible so that he can really bless our souls. Now, Doc McKee, he was raised as a child in the international occult group known as the Illuminati. For 20 years, he was trained as an Illuminist and attained the rank of Master Witch. Now, this is a third-level Illuminati witch. As a result of God's sovereign mercy, Doc became surrounded by Christians who presented him the gospel. Now, when he was confronted by God's word and love, he opened up his heart and mind. Now, on April 15, 1979, Doc became a born-again Christian. He got saved. Now, when he got saved, he turned from the Illuminati. Now he's devoting his life across the country, using public forums to expose and educate people to the occult. He speaks at seminars, lectures, conventions, conferences, workshops, churches, and special interest groups. Listen to this. He also trains therapists, clinicians, psychiatrists, psychologists, local and state police. He's a former present-day member of the FBI and victim abuse recovery, satanic ritual abuse, dissociative identity disorder, programming, brainwashing, solving occult crimes, and 8 major occult groups found in America. Wow. Now, he's been on television. He's appeared on 2020, Oprah Winfrey Show, Geraldo Rivera, Hard Copy, Inside Edition, Unsolved Mysteries, Closing Comments, Camp Town Meeting, Thinking Out Loud, Stand Up for Your Rights, The Americanist Perspective, said, Where's Rhode Island? We Are the People, Talk of the Town, Fox Television, Keep Looking to Jesus, and more. He's also appeared on international television programs in England, Italy, Japan, Jerusalem, and Mexico. He's also had radio appearances, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, Radio Liberty with Dan Stan Monteith, Prophecy in the News, Gary Stearman, Raiders News Network, Southwest Radio Ministries, Ground Zero, Let Freedom Ring, Fort Wayne, Indiana, The Open Forum, Teague, Texaco, Teague, Texas, Old Path Ministries, that's in Attleboro, Massachusetts, The Lou Epton Show, Las Vegas, The American Freedom Network, and more than 1,000 other shows throughout the country and abroad. And you will be listening to Doc Marquis on tonight. Now, you can get with him on Creation Message, creationmessage.com. He also has put out many books and DVDs. Here's one of his books, Secrets of the Illuminati. Here's another book, Signs, Symbols, and Satans. Here's another book, The Illuminati's Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Here's a few of his DVDs, The Arrival of the Antichrist, America's Occult Holidays, Front Men of the Illuminati, Magic, Mysticism, and Masonry, Protocols of Zion, and many, many more. Now, if you want to contact Doc, you can say, reach him at Doc Marquis at 422-228-9476, or go to creationmessage.com. That's creationmessage.com, and you can reach Brother Doc Marquis on any of the information that I just mentioned for his books or his DVD series. And without any further ado, we're getting ready to go, and you will be listening to Brother Doc Marquis. Here he is. All right, Brother Marquis, you have the microphone. I would like for you to just open up with prayer, and then you can go on from there.
Thanks, Bobby. Father, I do ask that you look upon all of us right now who are in attendance and bless us. Bless us with ears to hear and our souls to be open up and receptive, Father. And I pray, Father, that you do especially bless all the equipment and everything that is used for this show, Father, because so often in the past they have used everything to stop us. And I pray, Father, that you don't allow that to happen this time. Just pour your anointing over everything so that we may be able to continue in putting out the truth and by you, Lord willing, lead people to salvation. For truly, Father, we do ask these things of you in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, Bobby, usually one of the first questions people ask me is, how did I end up in that mess to begin with? You know, how does a person like me, you know, end up in the Illuminati? Well, the long and short of it is, you see, I was raised in an Illuminati family. My family's bloodline goes all the way back to 1789, and that's when the very first family member back then was an Illuminist. And so when I was three, I was brought to my initiation ceremony. Now, this is the same thing you will find out that's going on throughout various religions throughout the world. Like, you know, the Catholics will bring their children to their churches, Jewish people bring their kids to temple, Christian people will bring their children to their various churches, and they'll dedicate them to the cause of Jesus Christ, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And in the Illuminati and most of the occult world, it's the same thing, except they're dedicating their children to false gods. In the Illuminati, that would be Lucifer.
Jesus.
So, yeah. So at the end of that dedication ceremony, I was put into what's known as the outer court. And as I always tell everyone, the outer court is the Illuminati's version of a seminary. This is where, for the next 10 years, you're taught all the rites, the rituals, spell casting, human sacrifice, how to practice human sacrifice, astrology, name it, high magic, low magic, it's all there. So by the time I was 13 years old, I was brought to my initiation ceremony. And after a two-hour-long ceremony, I was brought before the altar, and they put this book on top of the altar, and in the occult world, it's known as the Book of the Dead. It's made out of lamb's hide, and then they brought forth a quilt feather, and then the last thing they brought and set on the altar was a silver knife, or what's called athame in the occult tongue. After that, what happened, the master witch of that particular ceremony picked up the athame, sliced my right arm open. I had to take the quilt feather, dip it in my own blood, and sign my new occult name in the Book of the Dead. Once I did that, I was fully initiated as a Druid priest in the Order of the Illuminati. Right. You're known as a first-level Illuminist or a Druid priest. You see, the belief system of the Illuminati goes all the way back to the Druids of ancient Britain. From 900 B.C. to 900 A.D., the Druid priests, which was the priestly class of the ancient nomadic Celtic tribes, they held all power and authority. You couldn't get married without the Druid priest's permission. You couldn't hold a tribal position. You couldn't attend any of the religious ceremonies. They literally held all sway over anyone's life.
So they were the power elite of that time.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with the Illuminati today. They're what a lot of people refer to as the shadow government, the people behind the government. That's who we're talking about. Now, the idea of Illuminism goes all the way back to ancient Babylon itself with Nimrod and the co-founder of witchcraft, which was his mother, Semiramis. It goes all the way back to that time. But for the next 4 years of my life, I was going through the ranks like everyone else, but I did have one major advantage. I was from one of the oldest bloodlines, and I was also being taught 200 years worth of family history in the Illuminati. So, I had a lot I had to learn on one side and then more to learn from the other. But by the time I was 17, I was initiated as a master witch, or a third-level witch in the Illuminati. Now, at that same time, during the late 60s, early 70s, the Illuminati had come up with a three-part plan that they were going to use against the military, you know, all four military branches in the United States. You see, the big problem at that time was the Illuminati could not get any of their people in as chaplains. Because none of the occult religions had federal recognition or status. So hundreds, and I mean literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of us, were sent into the various military branches throughout the United States government, throughout the world, and we went in with a three-part attack. The first part of this plan stated that for every single military base we were attached to, we were to set up a fully operative coven. The second part of the plan called for us to recruit key members of whatever base we were at into these covens. This way, whatever they had access to, we now had access to because they were now one of us. And then the third part of this plan called to make sure that all the major occult religions received federal recognition and status. And it's a sad thing, but it's very true. We were just way too good at what we did, because if you check the Army Chaplain's Handbook on Religious Requirement, the April edition 1978 one, you will find listed for the very first time in all of United States history, major occult religions were now federally recognized and had federal status. We're talking about, you know, like witchcraft, Satanism, what even how they practice their ceremonies, their burial rites. In other words, just like any other religion.
Let me ask you this, Brother Doc. And there was no one that resisted you all at all?
No one really wanted to. You have no idea what the Illuminati will promise anyone if they, you know, just cooperate.
All right.
Yeah, you see, let's face it. People want instant gratification. They want things now. They want it in front of them. They want it here. And, well, sad to say, but the Illuminati can deliver on their promises like that if they want to.
I see.
You know?
I see.
And, you know, let's face it. Most people, unless they're rock-solid Christians, most people have some sort of Achilles heel somewhere.
You're correct about that.
You know, so. But anyway, so, now, I was at, that was Fort Lewis, Washington, and I'm trying to make a very long story short here, but I was at Fort Lewis, Washington, and I was headed down to the PX one day because I just simply needed to get some supplies. Now, along the way, I ran into another person in the medical profession. It was no one I really knew. It was just a colleague, you know. So I stopped to talk for about 5-10 minutes, and then he had to leave. But then when he left, he asked me what I thought was the silliest question on God's earth at that point in my life. He asked me if I wanted to go to church with him on Sunday. I mean, could you see me, a Luciferian witch in the Order of the Illuminati, setting foot inside a Christian church back then? Yeah, I mean, I really think the raptors really would have just caved in on me. But, and of course, I'm not going to tell you exactly how I put it, but I'm just going to tell you the answer was no.
Yes, all right.
So anyways, for the next 3 years of my life, and I mean three very long years, no matter where I went, no matter how far I went, there were some born-again Christians just waiting in the wings to witness to me. I mean, oh my goodness. I mean, for me, considering I was a Luciferian witch at that point, oh my goodness, that was hell on earth. I mean, this is a true story. I am not making this up. I remember one time I was walking down the road. This white van was about to pass me, and the side of the door opened up, and the van didn't even stop. The guy jumped out. He had a Bible, and he came right up to me and started witnessing.
My Lord.
Oh, my goodness. You could only imagine what I was thinking. I am not kidding. For 3 years. And finally, at the end of those 3 years, I understood what the Christians were saying all along in light of what I was doing. So it was on April 15th, 1978, and yeah, I went in. I was a sold-out slave of Satan's. But God be praised, on that same day, I left as a born-again child of the King. And for almost 33 years now, I've been exposing the order of the Illuminati, their plans, everything for the New World Order, everything that's really going on right now. I mean, I've been doing this for 33 years, trying to warn the Christian church and everyone else about what's really going on and what's going to happen.
Praise God. That's wonderful.
You know, so that's basically how it happened.
Well, that's impressive in itself. So basically, if those Christians had not been praying and giving you the word every day for those 3 years, there's no telling where you would be right now.
I think I'd be dead. I honestly think I would be dead, buried, and waiting in hell right now till the final judgment, when I would have been thrown into the lake of fire eternally. But God be praised, I know that's not what's going to happen to me anymore. I know for a certainty that the moment this body gives out, or the Illuminati or one of their people finally catches up to me, or the rapture hits, and in any case, I'm going to see God face to face. I mean, I'm actually going to be able to see my risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, instead of paying the ultimate price for my sins. He did it for me. And I don't have to worry about it anymore. I mean, a lot of people ask me, why aren't I in hiding anymore? Why do I go out there and do all these things? I mean, well, you know, common sense, and this is just basic common sense. First of all, let's say someone walks up to me with a gun, points it to my head and says, if you don't, you know, deny Jesus Christ right now, I'm going to take this gun and I'm going to shoot your head off and send you straight to God. Oh, well, gee, give me 3 seconds to think about it. Let me see what the answer's going to be. You know?
Yeah.
A no-brainer, so that's an empty threat. And no matter how powerful Lucifer or the Illuminati may believe they think they are, no matter how powerful they're convinced of it, God has already foreseen the exact split second of time. I'm going to be called home. I don't know how, but he knows when I'm going to be called home, and he's going to know the method. So no matter how powerful the Illuminati or Lucifer think they are, they can't alter what God has foreseen by 1 second, more or less. So I've got nothing to worry about.
Amen.
It's going to happen exactly on God's time.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So, you know, so what? So, I mean, where's the big threat that I'm supposed to be afraid of if I'm out in public? I mean, they can't touch me unless God says it's okay. And I can't leave until God says it's okay. So, everything's okay then.
That's right. You're right. And there's no fear in God anyway.
You know?
And yeah, that's true.
You know, so, yeah, I look forward to that blessed day. Yeah. Not always because I'm too busy writing these DVDs, but, you know, I'm still looking forward to it when I've got the time to look up on my computer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, but you're such a blessing to so many people now, and that you're such a blessing to so many people, and the knowledge that you have and the things that you're sharing, because you're helping so many people that might be looking at that or might be in it or who wants to get out of it. You're helping them in so many ways, and that's wonderful in itself.
Well, I'm just the messenger, God's real blessing.
Amen. Amen. Well, look, I want to ask you some questions.
Go ahead.
Just one.
Only one?
Well,
only
right now.
Only one? That's the first time for me. People always walk up to me, hey, Doc, I've got a question for you. And that A question always turns into 50 questions.
Well, we'll see. This one might turn into something like that.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm not falling for this. I've only got one question. I'm not falling for it.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, is there a connection among the other secret societies and the Illuminati? Are they kind of... Do they kind of work together?
Well, let me
like the Masons and...
Yeah, well, okay, let me explain how all this works. Okay, let's start with the Mason.
Okay.
Now, I know most Masons out there, they think that they're just a bunch of do-gooders, thank you, helping and doing what me not, you know. 95% of those Masons haven't got a clue what's going on within their own temples. It's only the top 5%, and that's because those top 5% have been initiated into the Illuminati. You see, it was back in, let me think back. That would have been 1785, I believe it was, or 86. Dr. Adam Weishaupt, there was 23 supreme Masonic councils of the world existing back then. They sent representatives to meet with Dr. Adam Weishaupt, who was the first head of the Order of the Illuminati, who put it all together, and the Rothschild family were involved in this.
All right.
Those representatives met with Dr. Adam Weishaupt for 30 different sessions. At the end of those sessions, those representatives signed a blood contract vowing to follow the Illuminati's 7-part plan towards the creation of a novus ordo seclorum, which translates from the Latin as a new world order.
All right.
And so the Illuminati didn't have to set up any of these covens like most occult groups do. They have and have been working through the Masonic temples throughout the world. Now, there were 6 major front organizations that the Illuminati created so that on an international level, they could perpetuate their plans for the creation of a new world order. The first one was known as the Royal Institute of International Affairs. That one is headquartered in London. The next one, which is called the sister organization to the Royal Institute of International Affairs, you know it as the Council of Foreign Relations. Then the next one, they created the Club of Rome, the Bilderbergers, the United Nations, and the Trilateral Commission.
All
these
right.
are the 6 front organizations of the Illuminati. It's through them that they continue to get the laws changed and everything else to where their plans are being fed to these organizations and they're being perpetuated throughout the world. As a matter of fact, DVD 3 in this 12-part series I'm trying to wrap up right now on the Illuminati. DVD 3 is called Frontmen of the Illuminati. And I completely blew the lid.
Wow.
Excuse me, on those six front organizations. Now,
okay.
Those are the six biggies. I mean, as far as the top of the pile goes, that's it. But, of course, there are others. What I jokingly refer to as the summer camp for the Illuminati is known as the Bohemian Grove. Have you ever heard of them, Bobby?
Yeah, I have heard of them.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the biggest rituals that goes on there during the summer is known as the cremation of care ceremony, correct?
All right.
You know where they worship in front of that 40-foot Illuminati owl? I could tell you stories about that. But that ritual that they go through usually lasts anywhere from around 2 to 4 hours. And the whole thing, now I do have the entire ritual, and the whole thing is, you see, how do I explain this? In the Illuminati, just like most other occult groups, new rituals are added, you know, but every ritual has to follow certain criteria that must be met in order for it to be a legitimate ritual, okay?
All right.
And there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever. And again, I'll be in the studios, Lord willing, maybe in another month, 2 months at the most, because I've already finished DVD 11 and I'm writing DVD 12 right now. But DVD 11 is called Dark Rituals and Rites at the Bohemian Grove. My friend Belinda, she convinced me to go with that title. She liked that one better. So I said, okay, Belinda, we'll use that. And in this particular, that's DVD 11. That one's going to be almost 4 hours long, I think. We do expose the entire cremation of care ritual. I show you how it's a ritual and the other elements necessary for this to be something genuine from the order of the Illuminati. So there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever, especially when we look into the actual history and what's going on at the Bohemian Grove, there's absolutely no doubt whatsoever that is Illuminati territory, especially since the oldest of all the totem bird animals that's used in the order, since the oldest one is the owl, and it's sitting right there in the center of the grove. That same owl, believe it or not, if someone was to take out a $1 bill, there's five of those Illuminati owls on the American $1 bill. Now, most people also, when they look at the back of that dollar bill, they think those are the two great seals of the United States of America. They are deceived beyond anyone I know at that point, because those are the two seals of the Order of the Illuminati. See, if those were genuinely American seals, that by law, and I mean by law now, they would have to be on amendments, ratifications to amendments, treaties, executive orders, and certain other things from Congress. And yet, for almost 33 years now, I have challenged people to come up with just one document, just one, that bear both those seals, and no one's ever been able to do it, because the only one that does exist in the United States is the one that has the eagle, but the other one that has the pyramid, that one's never even been made yet, because they belong in the Order of the Illuminati. I know I've seen plenty of documents in the Illuminati that bear both those seals, but you'll never find one on any American document, and among other things. Now, do you know what a hexagram is, Bobby?
I have an idea,
Okay, for your don't know, a hexagram is a six-pointed star with a circle around it. Now, that's not to be confused with the Star of David, you know, the Jewish star. Don't get that confused. The Jewish star, or the Star of David, the Mogan David and such, consists of two equilateral triangles that are interwoven. With the hexagram, you take one equilateral triangle, place it on top of another. By doing it like that, you actually place, symbolically speaking, man above God. Now, a hexagram contains 6 points, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, in Revelation 13:18, Revelation 13:16 through 18, it tells us that when the Antichrist arises, everyone's going to have on him either a name, a mark, or the numerical equivalency of this Antichrist person. Revelation 13:18 says, "Here is wisdom. Let him who hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666, or 666.
Yeah.
Now, let's hold that thought for a second. A hexagram has six sides. Now, if we were to place three hexagrams side by side, that would constitute a 6 + 6 + 6, correct?
Yes.
Do you know there's three of those hexagrams on those two seals?
I didn't notice that.
There's
most
three
people
of them.
Don't.
And you have to understand the significance here. If you are going to summon a demonic creature, and I mean a genuine demon, to this plane of existence, you have to use the hexagram. There's no other way of doing it. The hexagram is the most foul, the most evil of all symbols in the occult world. There's nothing that can touch it. And you need one to summon a demon. And yet, there's three of them on those two seals, and that equals a 6 + 6 + 6. And if those are the so-called seals of America itself, why are they on the two great seals then?
And you say they use those to summon demons.
You have to. There's no other way of doing it. I know the rituals to this very day. It's not as if I forgot them. And to this very day, that's how it has to be done.
My Lord.
So what are those doing on the back of America's great seals, if those really are America's to begin with?
Wow.
But all that and a lot more, that information you'll find on DVD 1. You see, I started doing this DVD series. The whole of it is called Secrets of the Illuminati. It's 12 parts. I'm finishing up DVD 12. I purposely came at it from an educational perspective. In other words, it's like going through college. I'm going to start you at the very beginnings, you know, as if you're taking the 101 courses, and then I'm going to take you all the way up to the 808s, where you're going to get your doctoral degree.
All right.
That's how it was designed. And believe it or not, just starting off with what I just mentioned, the two great seals and everything, that's just the basics. Wait till we get into the nitty-gritty stuff.
And you say that's the basics, huh?
That's just the basics. I mean, and also, let's see. Let me think back. That DVD. Oh, yeah. We put in the original and the modern-day maps of Washington, D.C. You see, from the White House all the way to the Capitol and all the way through to the Washington Monument and all the way up straight, you know, through the mall and everything, that entire section, the very heart of Washington, D.C. itself, is laid out using Masonic and Illuminati symbols. It was all designed. Now, if we were to just take that section I just mentioned, and you look on the surveyor's map, you may have heard of a surveyor's map or seen one. You know how it's sectionalized with squares and oblongs, and it says lot number 181 or lot number 306, something like that, right?
Yeah.
That entire section of Washington, D.C. I just described, on the surveyor's map is an oblong. It is labeled lot 666.
And that wasn't a coincidence. That was something that was planned.
No, because if it's a coincidence, and so is the Washington Monument. You see, the Washington Monument, that great obelisk, is 550 feet exactly above ground. Now, most people say, aha, that's 6,660-something inches. Excuse me, that's not the point of it. You don't understand.
Yeah.
You see, there's also 111 feet below ground. So 555 feet and 111 feet comes out to be exactly 666 feet. Trust me, it's no accident. And you see the maps and everything in this DVD and such, and among other things, we go over the original seven-part plan the Illuminati came up with for the creation of a new world order. And, all that's on DVD 1. That's the basics we go through.
That's the basics.
That's the they've
been planning this new world order for a long, long, long time.
Right now, they planned it. It's been going on for 225 years. No, 235 years now. Yeah. You see, all this came about because of Maya Amschel Bauer. Now, Maya Amschel Bauer would later change the family's name to that of Rothschild. I think everyone's heard of that name before.
Yes.
What happened back in 1773, Rothschild, along with his 12 most influential financial friends, and it's no coincidence, it was 13 people total then, they approached Dr. Adam Weishaupt, who was the head of the professorship of Jewish canon law at the university in Ingolstadt, Germany. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, basically, and I mean just to paraphrase everything, Bauer approached Weishaupt and said, listen, we know you have the occult skill and knowledge to put it all together. We've got the money. You do it, we'll back it. And for 3 years, Weishaupt devised all the organizational things in the Illuminati, the plans, the whole of it. So on May 1st, 1776, and May 1st, is the second night of human sacrifice on the Illuminati calendar. It was on that date that the order of the Illuminati had actually been realized and officiated.
So it was officiated on human sacrifice.
Well, it's based on Lucifer. What would you expect?
Well, you have
see,
a
in
point.
The occult world, if you're going to understand everything, it's either a direct reversal or perversion of something you find in scriptures. In the order of the Illuminati and I don't know how many different branches of the occult world, they practice the rites of human sacrifice. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service.
All right.
God wants a living sacrifice. They want to perform a human sacrifice. So you can see how that's, you know, a direct opposite and perversion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
if you want to understand
the
occult world, see it along that line.
Now, do they get any additional power from sacrificing human beings and killing like that?
Well, you know, interesting enough, people in the Illuminati will look down upon people in Satanism because Satanists perform human and animal sacrifice. In the Illuminati, they never touch animals because they say true power is, you know, exuding out of your victim when he's dying. That's where the true power lies. So the Illuminati look down on Satanists and anyone else that practice animal sacrifice because they know that's, you know, that's just low-level stuff. And interesting enough, you know, in certain witchcraft book, and I do mean, you know, those people who claim to be good practitioners of magic, you know, the neo-pagans, the goddess worshippers, you know, witches, Wicca, pagans, that lot.
Yeah.
I've read in their own books where they say that they would never practice human sacrifice except in the books I've read it where it says they know that true power and miracles can come about through human sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's a known fact. Whether these people, these so-called good witches, these good practitioners of the right-hand path or white magic, as some will call it, they know the story. Yeah.
Huh.
And what amazes me the most, you know, in the KJV translation of the Holy Bible, there's 33,172 verses. Of that, more than 10%, it's right around 11, I know, it's a little bit more than 3,383 verses, deal directly with the occult world, their belief system, how they practice, and everything else, and yet I never hear this spoken of behind the Christian pulpit. Never. We have people who have written books on how to witness Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, Catholics, name it. But our own people won't touch that. And some of the common excuses I hear are, do you know what they do? Well, yes, I was one of them. I've got a pretty good idea of that. You know, well, they're so scary. Hold on a second. I thought, according to the scripture, fear was of the devil.
It is.
And then, the one that just makes me want to tear my hair out by the roots, is when these people tell me, well, I don't feel led of the Holy Spirit to witness to them. Well, guess what? You're listening to the wrong spirit then, because the Great Commission says you're supposed to go into the whole world, not part of it, and preach the word of salvation. This is not an option. This is not I'm not in the mood for them. I don't care. This is not an option. This is your marching orders. Christians are supposed to be witnessing to those people in the occult, and yet 99.999% of them are going to end up in hell because no one really cared enough to get off their blessed assurances or out of their Christian zones and go and witness to them. And these people have got the nerve to tell me they're suffering for the Lord or that they're doing the Lord's work? God forgive them for their heinous sins and blasphemy.
Doc, I tell you, a lot of people, they don't feel they have the authority or the power. I mean, they read the word, but they believe that I've heard people say it takes some kind of special anointing to witness.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I heard that one again. Heard that so many times. You know what? That's got nothing to do with it. Christ himself pointed and picked up a mustard seed and said, if you can just gather enough faith to equal the size of this mustard seed, and it's the smallest of all the herb growing seeds, you can muster up that tiny little bit of faith. And Christ said, you can call upon that mountain and cast it into the ocean.
That's right.
That's all it takes. Christ did not say it takes a special anointing. It's faith. That's the catalyst behind any miracle that will ever come about. And again,
amen.
The proof lies in the scriptures. When Christ was going and preaching the word of salvation, the Bible clearly pointed out in places where, in places where there were little faith, he could do only tiny little miracles. But where there was great faith, it once again says he was able to do great miracles. Now, I'm going to give you, let me ask you a question. Aside from the vicarious death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through which you, I, and all other born-again Christians have been saved, aside from that, what's the single greatest miracle in the Bible?
Really?
I mean, No. I said aside from that one.
Oh.
Aside from that, what's the single greatest miracle that ever happened?
I don't know. Cast out a whole lot of demons.
No, that's basic stuff. Anyone can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the book of Joshua.
I hear you.
Now, Joshua is leading the armies of God against, I believe it's five kings. You see, one king got a smart idea and said, he's heard report and seen all the news about, the children of God. They're just wiping out anyone who opposes them. So this king writes to his four other friends and says, hey, listen, let's gather ourselves together into one big army and we can take them down before they take us down. And that's what they did. So all five of the armies charged against the children of Israel. And I mean, this is a big old battle. I mean, swords are being slashed around, bows and arrows. You see the arrows flying through the air. And Joshua, in the midst of all this turmoil, does what any normal person would think was the silliest thing on God's earth. He steps off his horse and decides to have a conversation with God.
That's right.
You don't do that. I mean, you could get hacked down. You could get shot with an arrow. You don't call a timeout or a, redo or whatever they call it. It doesn't work like that.
No,
it doesn't. Other than the military, I know it doesn't work like that. And what he does, he pointed to one son and said, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. Turn to the other side and moon, set thou not upon the plains of Ajalon.
That's the word.
And he did that. It's not because he thought they were going to lose. No, he knew they were going to win, but he needed more time.
Time.
And this
That's
is what
right.
happened. The Bible says for 24 hours, neither one moved. Now, here's what's really happening. People aren't looking at this right. A lot of people just aren't getting what God's word is trying to show us. Now, think about this.
Yes.
Sun is sitting upon Gibeon. The moon is not setting upon Ajalon. They're completely stationary for 24 hours. How is that possible?
It's not in the natural realm.
Well, obviously not, because let's think about this. We know that the moon orbits around the earth, correct? And this
correct.
Is how, we measure time by, among other things. Well, if the moon stopped, the earth is still rotating, we'd still have that illusion that it's rising and setting, correct?
You're correct.
Yeah, but the earth couldn't have been the one that had stopped because the earth is rotating at 1,000 miles an hour. And when was the last time you slammed the brakes on something going 1,000 miles an hour and did not notice it?
No, you would notice it.
Yeah, I mean, everything would have been thrown through the atmosphere.
That's
in
right.
order for this miracle to have happened, the entire universe had to have stopped all at the same time, so nothing was flung out of its natural orbit and everything would recommence and stay in its natural orbit at the same time.
That is truly a miracle.
Joshua
a great
had,
miracle.
Yes, Joshua had no idea of the scientific principles he wanted, but he didn't have to understand because he had the faith to do it.
Yes.
And even the Word of God in that section says, never was there a day in which God hearkened unto a man, and never would there ever be a day like that again. God hearkened unto Joshua and what his faith demanded. That
Amen.
Is what it takes. Faith. So when people tell me they don't feel anointed of the Holy Spirit or they don't feel this, well, guess what? It's not a make-me-feel-good or fuzzy-wuzzy moment you're supposed to have when you get out there and witness to these people. All it takes is faith.
Amen.
Faith is an anagram. F-A-I-T-H stands for forsaking all, I trust him. That's it. Nothing more
Amen.
Beyond that. If God said thus and thus, people, you might as well go out and carve it in granite.
Because that's it.
That's all it takes is faith. Don't let yourself be controlled by fear.
Yeah. Yeah,
God
yeah.
says you're supposed to go out there boldly. My goodness, where is the faith? Where is the backbone of Christianity?
Well, one thing I can say, Brother Docker, is it's surely not being taught. It's not being taught in a lot of places. A lot of weak stuff is being taught.
Well, let's face it. The Illuminati have been doing a very good job of attacking the Word of God and making sure most people, for whatever they were worth, would be completely watered down. That's why, among mm-hmm. other things, we have more than 100 of these modern-day perversions of the Holy Scriptures.
All right.
Oh, yes. I mean, I remember when I was in the Illuminati doing the, I remember, let's see, this part of their plans was in the early 70s, in which they made sure that the Word of God would be changed, perverted, to such a way people wouldn't be able to get saved. And one of the first translations they ever came up with was known as the Good News Bible.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
Yes. Most people should remember that because that was one of the first biggies. I mean, this thing was sold by the millions. And,
yeah, well, there's a lot of them out there.
Well, as I said, there's somewhere around 100 right now. And if we look at, like, the NIV,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, the NIV stands for the New Illuminati Version.
all right. Uh-huh.
You know, that thing is so perverted. It takes out major scriptural verses that talk about salvation, and they take out, I don't know how many times, the name of Jesus Christ. And so by taking out salvation in Jesus Christ, well, then they damn people to hell because people won't know to be able to get saved through them. That's why all the perversions. There's only one true Bible that was based on the original Masoretic text, and the Textus Receptus, which was based on the original language. And that's the 1611 Authorized King James Version. That's it.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have handled myself original KJVs, Tyndale Bible, the Wycliffe Bible, the Bishop's Bible, Breach's Bible,
yeah,
the Great Bible. I've handled papyrus scrolls that were over 3,000 years old. Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah,
I tell you categorically, since I've looked at the original stuff, you don't get anything better than the KJV. And for those people who doubt the KJV, well, I've got a lesson for them. For almost 400 years after the KJV was created under the auspices of King James II of England, for almost 400 years, there was no other translation. None.
Hmm.
Because it was perfect. That was it. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. But were they right? Well, 1948 in the Quamam Valley, a young shepherd boy, and it always seems to be a little shepherd's boy, was looking for one of his lost sheep,
yeah,
and was throwing rocks in these caves to see if it would scare his goat and make him bleat or something.
Yes.
Well, one of those caves, when he was standing at the entrance and threw a rock in, he heard a breaking sound. So he went in, and he found these giant earth jars that contained what we now know to be the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yes.
Dead Sea Scrolls are almost 3,000 years old. They're the oldest of the old. And when compared to the translation of the King James Version, it lines up verbatim.
My Lord. So that's,
yeah,
the proof right there. That's the evidence and the proof of the Word of God and how God keeps His Word and He can protect His Word.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you this.
Didn't the Lord say, "My word you would have always"?
That's what He said.
And that's what He did. It was perfectly preserved. And the,
yeah,
and the Dead Sea Scrolls proved it.
Well, let me ask you this, Doc. Now, we got all these messed up translations out here. We have the Dead Sea Scrolls that's proven that the King James Version is the true word. How is it that we have our scholars, or we have our preachers, and we have all these different people that's supposed to be representing God? Why are they not speaking out against all this stuff? All these
First of all, they're not doing their homework.
Okay.
You know, it's much easier to sit behind your desk, think about what you're going to preach on Sunday, and come up with a sermon, rather than examine these things.
Okay.
It's so much easier. And let's not forget that, and I'll say this, and I don't care if anyone takes offense, because I'm not going to apologize for the truth. But most of those people you see on TBN, Turner Broadcast Network,
yes,
that's all part of the lie. They're not teaching or preaching the very word of God. Those people are preaching the prosperity movement. Those people are preaching the Make Me Feel Good Bible. Those people are preaching something other than what we find in the Holy Scriptures. Let's look at those people who preach the Prosperity Bible. Well, they're basing their belief system, believe it or not, the exact same way those people in the occult do.
All right.
You see, in the occult world, it's based upon what's known as quid pro quo. If you want something from your gods or goddesses, you've got to give something to them first. In other words, if you want something, you have to give something. Well, in the prosperity movement, don't these people say, well, empty out your wallets, throw it upon the altar or on the steps, and God will bless you, right?
That's what they say.
But look at how it's done. You have to first give all your money, and then God will bless you. That's not the way it's done in the Bible. But that's how it's done in the occult world. But that is how it's done in the occult world. And Scripture tells us, sad but true, that the poor we would always have.
Yes.
That's what it says. It says, the poor ye shall always have. Well, then, how does that fit in what Joel Osteen and those others are saying? Well, God wants every single one of his children to be rich. So give up all your money to me, and God's going to bless you. And, you know, I always tell everyone, I've got nothing against people, you know, who are rich. God bless them. I'm so glad when God's people are that well taken care of. But these people also have to remember, God gave it to them with a responsibility.
That's right.
You're supposed to be doing the work of God with that money. That's why it was given to them to begin with.
That's right.
You know,
well, that's what God tells us to do with our money. We're supposed to bless each other and finance
those people who have that kind of money. I caution them to make sure that they're doing the work of the Lord with it. Because if they're not, since God gave it to them to begin with, God can jolly well take it away from them.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. But a lot of people don't have that mindset. They get it for themselves, and they teach it the same way. It is a selfish gospel.
Let's look at Joel Osteen again. You know, he lives in a $10.5 million mansion in California, and you know, six blocks down from his mansion, his $10.5 million mansion, there are poor people begging for money.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know how he lives with himself.
Well, I'm sure he gives them a little something, you know, with him preaching like that every Sunday.
Yeah. and when I listen to his preaching, that's not what you find in the Bible.
No.
I'm sorry. Those are not the way God's principles were laid out.
Well, you're absolutely correct about that. A lot of many preachers these days, they have left the foundation of the gospel, and they're really not preaching faith. They're really not preaching holiness. They're a lot of them have fallen under the basic teaching of Simon the Sorcerer, that man who tried to buy the Holy Ghost.
He tried to buy the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes.
Yeah. And he couldn't do it. But these people are they don't care about the Holy Ghost. They're just interested in the money, and they have been bought and paid for.
You know what they don't preach about anymore? I mean, very few places. Now, one of the places I do know of, Fox in the News, which is headed by Gary Stearman and Bob Ulrich, and then Southwest Radio Bible, where is, what's that dear blessed man's name? It's the man who heads Southwest Radio Bible Ministries, and places like that. Aside from them, do you know no other place, and you don't hear the behind the pulpit, unless you go to places like this, where... they'll start teaching and preaching about the prophecies.
Yeah.
I don't hear
right.
about the prophecies anymore.
No.
I don't.
Well, it's a lot of things now that you don't hear about.
No,
most of the stuff that you hear about is totally carnal on the major Christian networks. They can't get past the carnal. And the sad thing about it, in reference to what you're talking of what you're teaching on in reference to these cults, Illuminati, and all these different things, we need to move in faith, as you said. We need to move in the power of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit, because we're dealing with some supernatural forces that is taking people out.
Well, it's taking them out faster than people realize. You know, according to the, what is that, the World Council of All Churches or All Religions, that place?
Yeah.
According
yes.
to the statistics I read from them, more than 1 million people are being initiated into these occult groups every year in America. That's 1 million people. Now, let me ask the Christian church, how many people did we get saved last year? Guess what? We're losing
That's
the
a
battle.
Good question.
We're losing the battle because people don't want to get out of their Christian comfort zones and get involved in this war that was declared more than 6,000 years ago.
You're right. You're right, Doc. You're absolutely correct.
The sad part about it, the really sad part about this, Revelation 18:23b tells us, "For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." It didn't say some. It said all nations are going to be deceived through the occult. That's how it's handed over to the Antichrist.
That's right.
What's going to do it. And that's because we're letting it happen.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this, Doc. We're going to have some people that's going to stand up, and you're one of them. It's our desire to be one of them. We just have to tell people the truth and go forth in faith and power and anointing, because we're the winners. We have the power to defeat anything that Satan has.
No one else was given what the Bible says, all. It didn't say some. It didn't say part. It said all power of heaven and earth was given to us, all of it. And the reason it's given to us is because we are joint heirs with all things, there's that word again, all things, through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
My people, you better start believing this or get out of the way and get out of Christianity, because this is coming down to the wire. People are dying, going to hell, and literally speaking, it's not going to be much longer till all hell does break loose and the Antichrist takes over for 7 years. We've got to be about our Father's business, as Christ said.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, there's no other people, not one other people in all of God's creation that was given the power and the authority to get out there, witness to God's people, and lead them to salvation.
Amen.
No one else. Now, if we're not doing it, there's no one else to do it. And so by our inactions, we condemn people to an eternity into the lake of fire. God, forgive us for our complacency.
Well, we got to do it. And that's just all to it. We have to do it, and we're doing it. But people have to do more. You know, it's hard to win a war when you only have
a part of the army fighting. Don't even. Stop right there. Let me ask a question.
Yes.
If you know you're going into a war, are you going into the war because you know you're going to win or you're going to lose?
I'm going into the war because I know I'm going to win.
Well, then there
not
it is.
To lose.
Oh, we know we're going to win, so what's the problem with us joining? Why aren't we doing? Why aren't we participating in this war since we know we are going to be the winners?
I don't know. I can't. I guess some folks don't know they're going to be the winners, I guess. I don't know.
It seems to be a mystery, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, that should motivate you knowing that you're the winner. Just like Joshua.
Yeah.
He knew he was going to win. He just needed more time.
Yeah. And,
as long as we have life, we have time.
You know, and guess what? If they shoot you, if they kill you, if they end your life, you're going to go to heaven anyways.
You're right.
So what's the problem? Are we so in love with the things of this earth, with the property, with the clothes, with the toys, with the games, with the bells, with the whistles, that we don't want to give it up?
You have a point, but that's what
we
called.
That, I know.
Mm-hmm. And it's sickening. It is absolutely sickening.
As I said before, I don't expect one of my dear, blessed brothers and sisters to be perfect. I don't expect that. I'm not about to expect of them something Christ wouldn't expect of them. But
mm-hmm.
I do expect them to get up and start doing something for God. I don't care how big or how small it is, just
mm-hmm.
so long as their true intentions is to do something valuable of God. I mean, at the very least, we can pray. I mean, consistently.
Yes.
I mean, not just once in a while, but consistently with our whole heart. And I mean genuine prayer. Prayer that would, you know, break down the strongest towers of the enemy. I'm talking
Amen.
About just prayer. There's so many other things I could do. I mean, I've got more people asking me, how do, you know, we create a home Bible study group? It's very easy. I explain it to them. I will lead anyone who needs any help in any of these things. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a pen or paper handy right now, and if you don't, I'm going to give this information out somewhere down the road also. But if you've got a paper and pencil handy, call me at 402-228-9476. That's 402-228-9476. Or you can look me up on Facebook. Just, you know, look up Doc Marquis, send a friend request. You know, I'll take it. You know, just I'm on Facebook. Or if you want to get me through the email, just email me at docmarquis777@yahoo.com. docmarquis777@yahoo.com. Or if you forget any of this or you can't get it, call up Bobby. He'll give it to you.
Amen.
But I'll
That's
show
right.
you how to do this, people. It's easy.
It really is. It's not hard at all. Brother Doc, I got a question. Somebody's got a question.
I thought you only had one question.
Well, you know, they pop up.
Yeah, one question starts a domino of 50.
Okay. Now, I have a question here. It's dealing with the founding fathers. Let's say, were the founding fathers, were they Christian or were they in the Illuminati?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Let's go with the honest statistics now. Of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 53 were Masons.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. How's that for an eye-opener? All right.
53 of them were Masons, and so only three of them were not?
Yep. Well, let's look at Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was an Illuminist. He was also a Rosicrucian, and he was also a member of the Hellfires Club. Okay? Well, Thomas Jefferson, he was in the Illuminati. And as a matter of fact, so was John Adams. But once John Adams found out what was really going on in the Illuminati and their plans, he left and started exposing them and fighting against them.
Okay, John Adams did.
Yes, the second president of the United States, John Adams.
Wow.
Yeah.
So his eyes were opened.
Oh, once he found out the truth, he started exposing them and was fighting against them. As a matter of fact, that's how he won. He beat out Thomas Jefferson and became the second president because he started letting everyone know what Thomas Jefferson was really into. See, among other things, Jefferson was a deist. He believed,
he was a deist too?
Yeah, he believed he could become a god. That's what they teach in the occult world. You can ascend after you've lived on this life and gone through so many other lives, you know, through the process of reincarnation, you can ascend and become a god. I mean, look at what they teach in the Mormons. If you do everything according to the Mormon rules and rituals, well, you go into heaven, you become a god, you take your eternal wife, you get planets, and you get to populate the whole planet by just you and your wife.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, there's a sick and twisted perversion of the scriptures.
It's very perverted.
It is.
And people believe that stuff.
And mind you, Joseph Smith, the founder and creator of that cult, he was a Mason. He was a known Mason. If you look at the rituals of the Mormon temple and their symbols, you can see he stole it from masonry because he was a Mason. The evidence is so obvious, even Helen Keller could see that one.
Wow. So basically, the start of our government and the founding fathers started off in this trash, in this Illuminati masonry stuff.
Well, you see, there's always been a battle going on for America.
All right.
And let's go a little further back. Remember, I believe it was 1609, the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock. These were people who left England because they didn't want to go through religious pressure or persecution. These people were real Christians.
Yes, all
they
right.
wanted to do things God's way, not according to the Church of England's way. And they left, and they were doing things God's way. And interesting enough, do you know, I think it was for almost 50 years after they came to the shores of America, the celebration of Christmas was illegal. You could be fined and thrown in prison for practicing what they knew was a pagan occult ritual that was called Christmas. See, these people knew their Bibles.
If anyone
has any doubt about this, I tell them right now, go to Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1-4. You're going to find out there was something that we're doing to this very day that God had forbidden. And those people weren't going to have anything to do with it. But look it up, ladies and gentlemen. That's Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1-4. Remember, the subject is Christmas. Wait till you see what you're going to read. But,
yeah, going up to the high places.
But there's a lot of other things, you know, such as Easter and other holidays we celebrate. Every single one of them is based on the occult religion. The only one that is not occultic is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That day was generally created to thank God, and this was from the Pilgrims. It was a year after they had survived that impossible winter. Thanksgiving came about because they were thanking God for their bounty and for keeping them alive. It was generally a day to say, thank you, God.
So basically, Thanksgiving is our only true holiday.
That's it. No other holiday. All the others, the major ones, are all based on the occult ancient religions, their holidays. And again, I wrote a DVD. That's the second one. It's called America's Occult Holidays. It's all in there.
Well, that lets you know, Doctor, we've always had serious work to do in reference to the things of God, in reference to His Word, in reference to the things of God, we should always be on guard, should always be praying, should always be studying, should always be trying to get people into the kingdom by word and deed.
And you know, what really kills me? There are groups out there that could claim to be prophecy this or they know this or whatever, you know, these different groups. And they say, well, we're going to celebrate our Lord's holidays. Well, guess what? Christmas and Easter have nothing to do with Jesus Christ whatsoever. Nothing. And yet, they claim those two because if we look at the statistics, those are the two big money makers.
All right, that's right.
Yep. And I have seen myself Christian churches that are practicing Halloween. Now, I would think that one would be a little bit obvious for anyone.
Well, they don't take it seriously. I
don't know how they're taking it, but why they're putting it in the Christian church, I don't know. But you see, my entire point behind all this is,
yes,
these people want to stay in the world and claim, you know, and then wave the banner of Christianity at the same time.
Well, you can't
well,
do that.
Work. It just doesn't work like that. That's why, you know, when you hear all these, the prosperity movement or the make me feel good Bible versions and all this other stuff, couple that together with these people who celebrate these things, you can easily understand why there's been this battle for America. The pilgrims landed, they wanted to really worship God. I mean, the way God said to worship him. And yet, not even a century and a half later, the founding fathers, 53 of the 56 signers who were Masons, who signed the Declaration of Independence, from that moment on, the Illuminati has had ground here in the United States of America. So there's been a spiritual battle going on for more than 200 years.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you. Well, see, we...
People just aren't looking at their history lessons. And as
no,
the old
not.
Axiom goes, those who do not learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
And that's
well,
what I mean. The operative word being... doomed.
Well, you're right. You're right, Brother Doc. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so happy and overjoyed that I'm listening to you tonight. And I pray that a whole lot of other people are listening tonight because people need to know about this. Because this is a serious, serious battle that's going on in the spirit realm. But it's not only going on in the spirit realm, it's going on naturally because these people are doing things that are affecting us and the realm that we live in this natural realm, but it's coming out of the demonic and it's spiritual and it's going over into the natural. Look, I know if they... if the founding fathers were, you know, all into Masonry and Illuminati and all that, so it's basically the same way now in our politics. Is that true?
Yes, and you know what? I've got an easy way to prove this. There's an award-winning Christian director. He's a good friend of mine. His name is Chris Pinto. He made a DVD called "The Hidden Faith of Our Founding Fathers."
All
That's
right.
called The Hidden Faith of Our Founding Fathers. Look
yes.
that one up on the net or go to YouTube. On YouTube, you'll see the trailer. It's called The Hidden Faith of Our Founding Fathers. Look that up, ladies and gentlemen, and you're in for quite an eye-opener. And as I said, Chris himself is an award-winning director. I'm talking about he's won serious Hollywood awards for his documentaries.
I think I'm going to look that up soon as we finish here.
Please do, because he is such a good Christian brother. And I got to meet his sister and brother-in-law last year at Future Congress. You know, we had talked about that before, Future Congress.
Yes.
For anyone who lives in the area of Texas or any place near it, Future Congress is a miracle. That should never have happened, but enough of people wanted it. So if you get the chance, look up Future Congress. I'm going to be there. I've been asked to speak again at Future Congress. I'll be there this summer again. It's a three-day event. Last year, when it was first started, the very first time, they had 28 leading speakers in their field under one roof where 55 lectures had been given in those 3 days. And by my calculation, there was more than 1,000 people who attended. I mean, think about this. You had people like, you know, Gary Stearman, Chuck Missler, Dr. Thomas Horn, Chris Pinto was one of the speakers, and all the big ones you could possibly come up with. David Hitt did the most brilliant lecture I've ever heard on what he called dimensionalness, which explains, you know, the holy triunity of God. I mean, it was brilliant beyond anything I've ever heard in my life. And it's going to be held again this year. So, people, look up Future Congress, and if you need any information or any help with this, you need names, numbers, again, call me. You've got my number. It's 402-228-9476. I will help you with anything I possibly can, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. I am a servant. I am one of your brothers here. Call me. I'll help you.
Amen. You all heard it. You heard it. He put the information out there. You can call him at any time, and you can participate in this Future Congress. I intend on going there. Oh, we got another question here. They keep coming, Bubba.
Are these your questions, or is this from other people?
Well, this question is from my better half, and it might be from somebody else. But what we're concerned about is this witchcraft in the church. How do you know something about that?
Of course I do. When I was in the Illuminati, let me see, the very first time I saw what the Illuminati refers to as Christian witches, that was back in 76. I purposely went to this one so-called Christian church.
Yeah.
You see, I had heard about Christian witches and the Illuminati for, you know, forever, but I had never seen one myself, let alone seen one of them in action.
All
what
right.
I had seen was this one lady preacher. She supposedly was a pastor and all this, and then, you know, she called up people who wanted healings, anointing, spiritual this or whatever. And as I was watching her, I could see demons passing from her and into the person she laid hands onto. Every single person who she laid hands on, I actually saw demons passing from her into them. That's what the Illuminati refers to as a Christian witch.
Well, let me ask you this, Brother Doc. What was the pastor doing? What was the preacher doing over there?
She was the pastor, as I said.
She was, okay, all right.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
So she didn't have anybody over her to question.
Nope, not that I knew of. And doesn't the Lord, didn't he give us that warning, beware those who would lay hands on you if you didn't know what type of person they were.
That's what the book says.
And it says, beware, because they could pass on to you demons.
That's right.
People,
that's right.
This stuff I'm telling you, it's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. It's there.
No. It said, lay hands on no man suddenly.
Yeah, we're just not reading the Bible and listening. We're letting someone else tell us thus and thus and save the Lord. Well, that may be fine and dandy. But I'm going to check it out in the Word of the Lord before I bank on it.
Well, you need to do that, because if you don't, you can be opening yourself up to devils.
Yeah, well, you see, I used to drive all my professors crazy. You see, I went to Louisiana Baptist University in Shreveport. That's where I graduated and got my Christian letters. I used to drive them crazy, because just because they said thus and thus and so, I would question them on it. I would then look it up in the Word of God. I would not be happy till I found every little jot and tittle. And, yeah, I drove quite a lot of them insane.
Well,
but I get it in the love of the Lord.
Yeah, yes.
God forgive me.
Well, I mean, that's good.
I have to try these things, since the Bible says, try the spirits to see if they are of God. And that's what I do. I'm not going to take a chance of telling someone this is how it is and being proved wrong afterwards, because then I'm teaching you the wrong way. It's either the Word of God or nothing else. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I live by a simple belief. I don't want 10% of Christ. I don't want 20. I don't want 30. I want all or nothing. That's
Amen.
It. And if I can't have all or nothing with Jesus Christ, why am I bothering? That's just
right.
How it is.
That's right.
You know,
you're right.
We have to look into the Word of God and put the mindset where we want to take in every single precept. Now,
yes.
Realistically speaking, not one human being will be able to take in the entire Word of God and understand it all. It's there's just too much for one mere mortal to take in. But that doesn't mean we can't be looking into these things, tearing them apart, trying these spirits, and proving if this is of God one way or the other.
Yes, yes. You're right. Brother Doc, we got about 22 minutes left on the program. I'm going to see if we're going to get some people to call in and maybe ask you some questions. Maybe they have some questions or some comments. So I'm going to give them this opportunity to call in. Our call-in number is 323-375-0849. We have our last 20 minutes. If you got some questions or some thoughts, opinions, or something you want to say to our brother Doc, you can call in now. The number is 323-375-0849. 323-375-0849. Okay. All right, brother Doc. Now, we giving them some time. I'm going to be looking for the call, and you can go on with your conversation.
Well, I don't even remember where we started, because somehow I got sidetracked on another rabbit trail.
Well, go ahead. Pick another one.
What do you have your mindset on? What would you like to know?
Well, I'm more concerned with the things that's happening in the body of Christ. We've talked about some things. People are coming into church, and they're coming in, and they're getting possessed right there in the church. They're being tormented, and they're not getting the help that they should get. Now, in some places they are, but I've seen a lot of places where they're not getting delivered at all.
These people are walking into God's church, and they're possessed. Well, they weren't saved to begin with.
Okay.
They won't. I mean, common sense. Let's again use common sense and apply the word of God.
Yeah.
Now, we know that once a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit indwells them, right?
Yes.
Okay, now think about this. The Bible says our bodies is the temple of God. Okay? And we know the Holy Spirit is living inside of us.
Yes.
Now, let's apply the common sense here. I know it's rare, but sense can still be common.
Okay,
Do we?
We got a caller.
Okay, hold on one second. Let me finish this.
Okay.
Do you really think for one second the Holy Spirit is going to move over and say, okay, devil, why don't you come in? We can have some fun together. We'll both occupy the same space at the same time.
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. God does not allow that to happen to his children, and he's not about to move over for one of the demons to take it. No. Common sense says, therefore, one of his children cannot be demonically possessed. They can be oppressed by the same demons, but they cannot be possessed.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
But you said you had a caller.
Yeah. Yeah, we got. Let's see what he's got to say here. He's on mute. All right. All right, caller. Caller,
yeah.
You're live.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we
yes.
can hear you.
Hello. Okay.
Yes,
hi.
We can hear you.
I have one question. I don't know if you touched on it. I've been listening, but I was wondering if, with like the Illuminati that you were in, is that something that you have to be born? You have, like, your relatives, you had to be born to, you know, I know you said that it was in your bloodline. So
yes.
Is that something
okay.
that you have to be born into, or is that something that you can, they can initiate you into? Is
no,
it something
they,
like
they
that?
They will recruit people into the Order of the Illuminati. The only thing is, you will never know. You've been recruited until it's time for your initiation. No one ever knows. They're being recruited because they never let themselves become known.
Yes,
now,
yes.
The only other way is, of course, you're born into a family who's in it. That's the only other way.
Okay. And where is it? Can we get any more information? Do you have a website or something that we can go to, or we can get some more information, some of your books? I know you said you're working on a DVD, a 12-part series that
yeah.
you're not finished with now. Or is there somewhere
okay.
we can go where we
okay.
can get more information?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. if you've got your pen and paper handy, hon.
Yes. Yes.
Go to creationmessage.com. Now, that's not my website. That is my director's website. He's got some of my DVDs up there, but they're all, for some reason, they were priced incorrectly. All my DVDs are only $19.95 plus $5 for the shipping and handling. Now,
okay.
As I said, some of them are there. The rest you can find on either YouTube by typing in my name, Doc Marquis. Go to YouTube or go to my Facebook site, you know, whatever that's called, on Facebook. Just type in my name. And as far as I remember, I believe I have all of my trailers up there. DVD 9 and 10 aren't up there yet because DVD 9 and 10, this is a two-parter. It's DVD 9 Volume 1, DVD 10 Volume 2. It's called Aliens, Fallen Angels, or Antichrist. Those will be coming out no later than the end of the third week of February. I already have the master copy of DVD 9. I'm waiting on the master copy because they're finishing it up right now in post-production. Once I have that, these will be sent out for replication, and then they'll be available to anyone. DVD 11, which is called Dark Rituals and Rites at the Bohemian Grove, I've already written. I'm writing DVD 12 right now. The working title is Secret Societies at Yale University. I'm praying I can have that done no later than the end of February So once again, I will take both of them, go to the studios, have them shot, and we'll make sure that they're ready as soon as we can, because once this DVD series, which is 12 parts, once this is done, I'm going to begin the new series, which is all on the occult world. There's 8 major schools of the occult in America. You know, witchcraft, Satanism, the Illuminati, Voodoo, Paramayama, Santeria, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I'm going to be devoting a DVD on each and every single one of them. We're going to first get into their core beliefs. Then we're going to get into the Bible, see what the Bible said about this. And then I'm going to show everyone how to effectively witness to every single one of those groups. And then after, you know, and on top of that, we're going to be doing DVDs in the same series, that new one, on the vampire movement, the werewolf movement, the zombie movement, Harry Potter, the Deliverance Ministry, and, there was one other, and then, it escapes me, and it is an important one. But that will definitely be in it, too. This next series is going to be 14 DVD long, you know, 14 parts, but this one's designed for the Christian church in mind.
Okay, okay, good, okay. And also, are you on Twitter under, like, your name, Doc Marquis, so we can see where you're going to be, lecturing or at a convention somewhere?
Hun, I can barely do Facebook.
Okay.
So I will have posted, I will make sure that whenever I do any of these conventions and such, I usually will post it on Facebook. Now, Future Congress, just go to the website, okay? Go to Yahoo, the search engine, type in Future Congress. You're going to see what it was all about last year. And now, eventually, you're going to have to speak to a gentleman known as David Hitt, or just call me every now and then, and eventually I'll be given the date, you know, the exact, you know, place. I think it's supposed to be in the Dallas Richardson area this year, the hotel, the whole thing. I will keep you updated. If I don't remember to do it on Facebook, just give me a call. I'll give you the information. And then just tell me to post it on Facebook.
Okay.
Now, you have my phone number, right? Do you have my phone number?
Yes, I do have a phone number. Yes.
Okay, so you know how to get a hold of me, so there's no excuses.
Okay, no, it isn't. I have your phone number, and I have all the information, and I will be contacting you, and I thank you so very much.
Oh, God keep you, hon. Thank you.
Thank you.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Well, that was a good call there.
Yeah.
All right. If you people, if you're listening, you would still want to call in, the number is 323-375-0849. We have 11 minutes left. That's 323-375-0849. You can ask Brother Doc what questions you have or comments, and he'll be more than happy to answer and help you. All right.
And you know what? That 14th DVD, I forgot. That is on Christian witchcraft. I'm going to show.
It is? Wow.
Yes, I'm going to show everyone what is really going on in the Christian church. And you know what? I'm going to point out a lot of names. I'm going to point out a lot of churches. I'm going to be stepping on a lot of toes, not mean-spiritedly.
Mm-hmm.
But quite honestly, I don't care, and I'm not going to apologize for it, because we've got almost no time left.
You're right.
People want to be politically correct in the Christian church. People just want fluff and make me feel good stuff. Well, guess what? I didn't see Christ being fluffy or, you know, fuzzy-wuzzy when he was telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees off. I didn't see him apologize to the moneylenders when he kicked over their tables at the temple.
I saw
Christ spearhead an attack the problem head-on.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what?
And that's what he commanded us to do.
If they want to take it to court, they want to sue me, let them do it, because they're not going to get much anyways. I mean, they can have the $7 I have to my name right now. Let them take it. Because the point of the matter is they're in serious error, and they're deceiving the Christian church, and I don't know how many people they have sent to hell.
Oh, you're absolutely correct, Brother Doc. And we have, like you said, we're the only people that can deal with this issue. And we have to say, God has given us the power through His Spirit. Through His Word, we're all powerful through Christ Jesus. And there's no devil on the face of the earth that can stop Jesus Christ.
And Christ called people like that liars, deceivers, and hypocrites.
That's what He called them.
Yep. That's exactly what they are. And I am not about to apologize for it.
Well, we can't. The hirelings. Hirelings. You know what a hireling do? He just in there for the money. When the wolf comes, he runs away. Leave the sheep there vulnerable to be destroyed.
Amen. That's exactly what they're doing. They prey upon these vulnerabilities. They prey upon these people's weak emotions. They prey upon these people and lead them down the wrong path. Why? So they can get all the glory and that they can fill their pockets. Well, you know what? When they take the glory upon themselves, God will punish them just like He did Moses. Moses struck that rock and took all the glory for himself, saying, well, I brought forth the water out of it. Yeah, have at it. Well, God did not let him enter into the promised land because he stole the glory away from God. What makes those people think God's going to allow them into his holy land?
He's not, because God doesn't change. He doesn't change.
Well, his own word says, I am the Lord thy God, I change this not.
That's right.
However God says or does something the first time, it stays the same throughout eternity.
Amen.
And these people got the nerve to change the word of God to suit their own needs and reasons.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to get away with that. They might think they are, but they're not going to get away with that. The Lord is not going to allow that to happen. But God is raising up people that's going to stand up and speak the word and prophesy and tell the word of God unadulterated.
Yes.
And that's what He's doing. And that's the reason why you're speaking on this program tonight. Because God is establishing and getting His authority and getting His things straight in His body. Because He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And, it's kind of spotted right now.
Well, God's kids have got to be purified as gold is purified 7 times through the furnace. It's trying and purifying process. In other words, for us, a learning and growing process to where we're being purified and tried through the holy fire of God so that at the end we do come out as purified gold, which is worthy to be changed into a vessel of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's a learning and growing process. As I said before, I don't expect any one of my dear, blessed brothers or sisters to be perfect, but I do expect each and every single one of them to be trying to do something for the name of Jesus Christ and for the cause of His kingdom.
Amen. 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 And
what I've always stated, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to act like a child of a king.
Amen. Amen. And the wonderful thing about it, when you set your mind and heart to do the things of God, He's going to assist you in that. You're not alone. You're not going to be out there by yourself. He's going to assist you in your faith. However far and high you want to go in the Lord, he'll be there to help you. That's why he filled us with his Holy Spirit, with his Holy Ghost.
That's what the Bible teaches us. I mean, didn't the apostles say, Lord, increase our faith? Didn't they say, Lord, teach us how to pray?
Amen.
The Lord didn't say no. He honored that because it was genuine. It was heartfelt. And he honored it and, you know, gave them the answers.
That's right. Well, Brother Doc, we got about 4 minutes left.
4 minutes until airtime.
That's what she said. But I tell you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, back to that again. Oh, my goodness. I never believed in deja vu except in this case. 4 minutes until airtime.
Well, yeah, they had to say that.
It's an inside joke, ladies and gentlemen. You had to be there for this.
We're trying to
exorcise a demon from a recording device. Oh, my word.
Praise God. Well, I'll tell you, this has been good and very good. We got 3 minutes left. I'm going to let you close it out with a prayer, and whatever time we have left, which will only be a few minutes, we can talk on that. But close us out, Brother Doc.
Okay. Father, thank you for what you have done for us tonight, for using this unworthy vessel to speak and to teach about what you wanted all your children here, Father. And I pray that along the way, those children of yours really learned and understood those things that you wanted them to hear. We have so little time left, Father, and I pray that you truly motivate and guide each and every single one of us to be about your business. And I pray, Father, that you bless Bobby and keep him motivated to keep his show going and to keep the truth going out there, Father, because it's through the truth we can educate people, and through all that, Father, we lead them to salvation. Amen. Bless every single one of your children out there, Father, for I ask all these things of you in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Well, Brother Doc, I'm going to give a little more information out on your behalf in reference to your DVDs. Brother Doc Marquis, he's got many books here. He's got many DVD series. And if you have any questions in regard to that, you can contact him at Marquis at 402-228-9476, or you can go to creationmessage.com. That's creationmessage.com, or Doc Marquis at 402-228-9476. And you can ask him in reference to his various books and DVDs, Secrets of the Illuminati, a DVD series, The Arrival of the Antichrist, American Occult Holidays, Front Men of the Illuminati, Magic, Mysticism, and Masonry. We have one on Protocols of Zion, The Illuminati is Fulfilling Bible Prophecy. We also have Illuminati 2012 and Illuminati 2012 and Beyond, Volume 1 and 2, Aliens, Fallen Angels, or Antichrist, Volume 1 and 2. And he has other DVDs that he's in the process of creating right now, 11 and 12, and you can call him on that. And our time is about out. We ask that you all contact him at your convenience, and we'll be waiting to hear from you all next Friday on Kingdom of God Ministries, and we thank you for listening in on tonight. At this point, we're going to close out the show. Thank you for listening.